Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we are. What a day. Let's argue. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Such a pleasure to be here today. Joy Taylor is joining me. Nick Wright, Joel Klatt today yell at me. How are you, Joy?
I'm great. We have our festive winter scene.
Yes.
Now, a little snow.
Herd for the holidays. Very nice. Our staff does a great job on this stuff.
They do.
So I've got a couple of things today, Joy, I want to start my show with. Let's start with number one. The college football playoff rankings came out today. And I don't care that Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State are the top four. Duh. That's why we don't need to expand the playoffs. I've been arguing this forever. There's never been more than really three teams in my life that I think can win it. This year, I really don't see. It's Alabama, Clemson to me. I don't think Ohio State's defense is good enough. But let's move on to the really important stuff to me, is that Florida has two losses, Georgia has two losses, and they're ahead of Cincinnati. And yes, they are better than Cincinnati. One of Florida's losses is to the fifth-ranked team in the country, Texas A&M. Yes, they are better, and that drives you crazy. Colin, why play the games? Well, games are important. But I always tell Joel Klatt this, and he is outraged, and you are outraged. Games are not 100% of it. I consider a lot of things. What college football is trying to do, and they are right for doing this, is to encourage the powerhouse schools to put it out there a little. Alabama, go play Oklahoma. Ohio State, go play Oklahoma. Texas, you go play a USC, a Miami out of conference. Put it out there, and we will not punish you. You can lose that game. We're not going to make it all about going undefeated. And that is the right thing to do. Because these schools control 30% of their schedules. And for the betterment of you, the consumer, and me, the media person, and the sports overall health, you don't want Alabama playing Panera Bread four times a year. You want USC, you want Tennessee, you want LSU, Georgia. Notre Dame didn't have to schedule Georgia. They were two great games. And Notre Dame's going to do it again. Notre Dame's on Ohio State schedule two times in the next 3 or 4 years. They're going to be underdogs in those games, but it makes the sport better. So I don't just look. We're trying to encourage that, not have all the big dogs petrified at records and ducking that so you get a September of college football that is just awful, you know, 68-8. That's the first thing. I want Oregon-Auburn. A couple years ago in the opener, Justin Herbert, Bo Nix. Come on. I'm sitting there Saturday night like, how great is this? We're not even in conference play. The second thing about records is the Steelers had a better record than Buffalo. Who was the better team? The Browns had a better record than Baltimore on Monday Night Football. Who was obviously the better team? Records, even in the NFL, records don't mean anything. But we know they don't mean anything in college football. The three factors I consider have always been this. The games. Watch the games. Do you win most of them? And what do you look like? Number two, what conference are you in? Okay, 7-1 in the SEC is a hell of a lot harder than 7-1 in the Pac-12. And I live in LA and I'm a Pac-12 fan. You lose a game in the SEC or two, you're playing in front of 104,000 people. Humid, crazy, you can smell bourbon in the air, and you lose by a field goal, and I'm supposed to be punitive against that? No, I'm going to be punitive if you lose a Pac-12 game on the road, played at noon in front of 41,000 people, where you can hear your coach talk in the sidelines. So I watch the games. What is your conference? And I also pay attention to what is happening today. It is the early signing day today. What's your personnel look like? Who do you recruit? Cincinnati undefeated. They average 48th best recruiting class in the country. There has not been a national champion over the last couple of decades, not one that I can find, that was not a top 10 recruiting power. That hasn't happened in 20 years. I watch today. Today's big. I watch where all the best high school players go. The kids know who have the better players. They want to play with the better players. And you're all arguing about it as media and adults. The best quarterbacks in the country are going to the best schools because they want to throw to the best receivers and be protected by the best left tackles. The 17-year-old kids know where all the good players are. And you're trying to tell me Cincinnati's got more than Florida? Then why isn't Cincinnati beating Florida for players? Because the kids know where all the good guys are. So as an adult, try to be smarter than 18-year-olds because they're telling you where all the good guys go. By the way, if a kid didn't throw a shoe in the Florida game, we wouldn't be having these conversations. That's the only reason we're having them. Some young kid made a mistake and threw a shoe. But what we're trying to do in college football is encourage big games. Next 3 years, the Ohio State Buckeyes play Oregon, Notre Dame, Notre Dame. Bama in the next 5 years plays Miami, Texas, Wisconsin, Florida State. We want more of that. You can't be totally beholden to records. Hell, you watched Sunday Night Football. The Steelers had the better record than the Bills. Who was better? Easily Buffalo. The Browns had the better record. This is the NFL over the Ravens. Who is better? If Lamar doesn't go out with cramps, that game's not close. You can't be beholden to records. Stop all the whining by the media. 18-year-old kids today are telling you they want to go play with the best players. And you're 48 and whining about Cincinnati's record? Grow up. By the way, Cincinnati has two great NFL players. They're brothers. Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce. I'm going to go with genetics over the power of Cincinnati football. Stop making arguments that 18-year-olds can figure out. 18-year-olds today are going to the best programs because they want to play with the best players. And the best players historically win the national champions. If you're 48 and can't figure out that Florida's got more good players than Cincinnati, that is a you problem, not mine. Go Gators. And Georgia. I live in L.A. and I'm an SEC homer. All right, let me get into this story. There's always this feeling, and I understand, we want everything to be fair. Life isn't fair. I didn't grow up with a lot of money. I had good parents, but divorces. I mean, I had to work two jobs to get through college. Some kids, you know, their parents are rich. It's not fair. And I didn't have any of that money. A lot of kids have the perfect white picket fence family. Family's got money. Kids go to Stanford, and it's an easier path, perhaps, than me going to a directional school. But that's okay. There's the advantage to sometimes not getting that is that you grow some calluses. You're a little tougher. You can deal with it. I wouldn't want to be a trust fund kid. I like my journey. I like my life. I like the struggle. You know, I get off on the pain sometimes. So Giannis yesterday signs the Supermax with Milwaukee. The Supermax contract. And there's a feeling that, oh, this is good for the league. And it does feel more fair. I would acknowledge that. And I do think big picture, it's nice to have some geographical, you know, balance around the country. Have a good, I like the NFL's got Kansas City's good and little small town Buffalo's good. And then the Rams are good too. I like that. But that doesn't mean it's better for the NBA. If Giannis is so great in Milwaukee, then why do they put their playoff games on at noon where you can't drive revenue? It would be much better for Giannis to go to Chicago, L.A., New York, and Miami because then they'd put him on at prime time. And that's why the NBA makes $3 billion a year. They put their stars in prime time. I've watched the NBA my entire life. I watched it in the 70s, and not even the 70s, the early 70s, the Lakers with Jerry West, Wilt, and Gail Goodrich. The two complaints about the NBA have always been the stars have too much power and they only want to play in the cool cities. Long before MJ made us watch the league, Lou Alcindor left Milwaukee for the Lakers and it was all good, bruh. It was just fine. The league's making $3 billion a year now just on their national TV contracts. It doesn't count tickets. It doesn't count parking. It doesn't count food. It doesn't count advertising. It doesn't count suite. The league is swimming in cash. The league would have been fine wherever Giannis went. The key to the NBA, though, is the more thrilling it has been at the top, the less we give a rip and complain about the bottom. when Magic and Larry Bird in the 80s were in the finals every year for a decade, nobody gived a rip about the bottom. Movie studios don't care about the bombs if you got Star Wars or Jason Bourne and you're making hundreds of millions or billions for the Avengers. Then they don't care that a movie lost $23 million because they're making that in a Thursday on the Avengers. And by the way, the NBA has always had a Hollywood feel. Hollywood's a very unique industry, and the NBA in sports is very unique. The power structure is different. In baseball, in football, in hockey, you know, the league, the teams, the owners control it. In the NBA and in Hollywood, Tom Cruise is significantly more important than any studio president, any CEO. In fact, sometimes in his prime, Mission Impossible and Tom are bigger than an entire movie studio. They are the profit center. Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans are more important sometimes, some years, some decades for a movie studio if you can carry that kind of weight. So there's no argument here that Giannis, the league, would have been in deep trouble since the 70s. Lou Alcindor. Wilt going to the Lakers, Lou Alcindor going to the Lakers, Shaq going to the Lakers. You'll whine the whole time about, oh, the league. And then we get an MJ or a Kobe or a LeBron and a Durant and a great player and a D Wade, and we fall in love and we watch and the league makes money. I don't think the league is necessarily better the more I think about it that Giannis went to Milwaukee. It does feel more fair. There's some symmetry here that I think is good. I like to see Midwest teams. It gives it texture and fabric that I think is important. The NBA's bigger problem is not the bottom of the league. It's the top isn't quite as thrilling as we want it to be. KD got hurt, and Steph got hurt, and Zion's not quite there, and there is a little LeBron fatigue going on. It doesn't bother me, but there's a little LeBron fatigue, the downside to a guy that seemingly is going to play for a quarter of the century and probably for two decades be the best player. But the idea that the NBA would have been in trouble if Giannis went to Miami or LA, no, they wouldn't. They'd make more money off it. This league's never been driven by the bottom. Hollywood's never been driven by independent films. It's driven by the Avengers. It's driven by Star Wars. I know, the critics roll their eyes at it. The critics roll their eyes at the Avengers and The Rock and the superhero movies. It's what drives all the revenue, not your quirky little independent film about Napa. Or Paris. That's not what drives the industry.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So I'm not going to make fun of James Harden's puffiness that showed up on the internet. He is a little out of shape, but whatever. There's just no reason to go there. So I'm a professional. But this story, joy is my witness. Goulet, when he pays attention, is my witness. I have been on this for 2 years. This is what I've been told by several sources. It now is out. Congrats to Tim McMahon for writing this. The Rockets essentially, according to his story, basically the plane left when James said it left. The practices started when James said it started. It was his organization. One of the quotes, we knew who the boss was in the organization. It's just part of the deal. The players, coaches, GM, the owner, they all knew it. It goes on to say, Westbrook wouldn't tolerate tardiness. Nothing ever starts on time, said a former Rocket staffer. The plane's always late. The bus is never on time. It's an organized AAU team. Westbrook would bark, start the film, start without him. D'Antoni would say, we have to restart it when he gets in here anyway. This is what we've been saying for 2 years. There's an imbalance in the organization. Harden controlled everything. Practice times, film session times, when the plane took off. Often late because he'd been partying. This, folks, is why I never take James Harden as MVP, James Harden top 10 player all time seriously. He's just a scorer. That's the minimum in the NBA. LeBron, Kobe, Shaq. Larry Bird, Kevin Durant, scoring's the minimum. If you can't score in the NBA at a high level, you're not a star. That's the minimum. Then I'm looking for reliability physically, leadership, elevating others, an adult. Listen, if it was just about scoring and getting a bucket, I could make an argument. Kevin Durant, for the last 10 years, you choose him over LeBron situationally. If you needed a bucket, LeBron, KD takes the shot. I'd probably choose KD. But where LeBron completely separates from Kevin Durant is physical reliability, leadership reliability, emotional reliability. That's what makes LeBron, not just the points. What's funny about the NBA is that you think scorer is synonymous with leader. It's not. Scorer's scorer, and leader is leader. Bill Russell didn't score. Magic averaged 19 a game. It's not. We just think they're the same. Oh, if you score 30 points, you're the leader of the team. No, you're the best shooter. Every decade of my life, I've been watching it since the 70s. Wilt Chamberlain was never a leader. Jerry West led the Lakers. Wilt scored 100 points. Wilt was never a... Barkley was a scorer. He wouldn't know he was the best leader. Clyde Drexler was a scorer. You go every decade, you've got a guy that's a scorer, and we just say, oh, he's the leader. That's not the way it works. Now, it does often. LeBron, MJ, Kobe, Bird. Yeah, it works a lot. Probably 7 out of 10 times it works. Maybe 8 out of 10. But Harden is a scorer. That's it. That's what he doesn't defend. He doesn't elevate others. He's not reliable in the playoffs. But Colin, he plays every night. All right, sure, great, yeah. I mean, that's, again, isn't that kind of the minimum? You're around 75 out of 82 games a year? It's the old Chris Rock joke. I love my kids. That's kind of the minimum. We should start with that. I love my kids. I take care of my kids. Well, yeah, again, that's kind of the, you start with there. Do you elevate them past survival is hopefully, you know, the goal to be a good parent. And so this is why I've never really taken Harden seriously. He's a scorer. Maybe I've been watching it too long. I'm cynical, but he's just a scorer. He's not a leader. I'm not building my franchise around him. I'll make him my two. It's like there's Anthony Davis has a little bit of this. Anthony Davis has never shown us he wants to be the leader. He wants to go to the arena, get his points, play some defense. More a complete player than Harden. But this thing that they're synonymous, they're not. Some guys just fill it up. And that's all they do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
My buddy Nick Wright brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing every Wednesday at this time. So I said this earlier, the Onyx extension. You know, people say, oh, it's better for the league. I could make an argument. You put him in Miami. The NBA puts him in primetime. It gets massive ratings. It's not better for him to play at noon in the bubble on the playoff. The league is telling you nobody cares. So what do you make of the extension?
Well, I do think it's good for the league in a number of ways. One way is that I think we need great players staying in the East. And, you know, it's crazy what's happened. LeBron goes out West and all of a sudden everybody wants to go East. James Harden says, send me out East. Kevin Durant goes out East. Giannis is like, I'm good. I'll stay right here. Now, Miami would have been out East as well. It's just wild how that works. But what I will say is this. If you are a fan of the Mavericks and you're a little nervous about Luka, even though I don't think you should be, or the Pelicans, and you're a little nervous about Zion, or Charlotte, if Michael Jordan ever drafts a great player, which he probably won't, you're happy about this. You're happy that, you know what? Here is a sign that if we draft the right guy, he might choose to stay more than just the 7 years he's basically tied to us with his rookie deal. Now, one other difference, I heard you play the LeBron audio, between Giannis's situation and LeBron's, is not just that LeBron in this first time around in Cleveland got to the finals in year four, but it was also LeBron lost a conference finals when he averaged 39-8-8. Giannis has lost these playoffs in part because Giannis has not been good enough. And
fair.
I adore Giannis.
Yes.
But one of the reasons I think he can be confident staying in Milwaukee is I think he can look himself in the eye and say, the team was good enough. I wasn't. I need to be better in these big spots. And he just turned 26. I believe he will be at some point.
Story on James Harden. I'd been talking about this on the air for about a year, about he runs practices, the plane takes off. Forget the fact that he came in a little puffy. What do you make of the culture that really was so beholden to his every whim? That's not that to me, that doesn't feel like a championship culture, Nick.
Yeah, I get that. I also think that, and I know this is in the article, but I believe it to be true, they were, with that culture, a Chris Paul tweaked hamstring away from winning a championship, from beating one of the most talented teams ever put together, the KD, Steph, Clay Warriors. But I think that the Rockets made a trade-off, which is, to James's credit, no matter how tequila-soaked he may have been, he was dropping 40.
Yeah.
He wasn't missing games. He wasn't load managing. He was always there. He was playing through injury. He was playing heavy minutes. But I do think that it is something of an indictment when a guy like Russ, who really likes James as a person, gets there and says, you got to be kidding me. This is how you guys do business. And I know people can fairly criticize Russ's game, but his approach, his work ethic, those types of things are unimpeachable. And so I do wonder if he gets his wish and he gets traded, that team is not going to be as beholden to him. Like, let's say he were to get his wish and get traded to the Nets, which I don't think is a realistic possibility, but say it happened. That team is beholden to Kevin Durant, not to James Harden. And so I do think there might be a be careful what you wish for aspect with James moving forward, as far as he has it about as good as anybody can get it.
Yeah.
They pay him the most money they possibly can. They let him pick the damn near pick the coach, certainly pick his teammates, and pick the practice and flight schedule. It's not a bad gig, similar to the one you have.
Now, let's stop with that. Okay, so you know, people in Cleveland just want me to give Baker credit, and it's like I was sitting here this morning thinking, you do realize he was the second best quarterback Monday night. I mean, if Lamar doesn't get cramps.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, you don't think he...
God.
Lamar Jackson's so much better than Baker Mayfield.
God.
Are you really thinking...
Okay, overall,
yes.
But not Monday night. Lamar's the defending MVP, but Monday night he wasn't better. Lamar had 80 yards in the first 3.5 quarters. He completed 6 passes. I like Lamar a lot, but come on. Can we... Baker against the Titans, the best first half anyone's done against any team all year. Follows it up against the Ravens. They score 42 points. He scores 3 fourth-quarter touchdowns, a go-ahead touchdown, and then a drive in the final 2 minutes where his only flaw was he scored too fast, 47 seconds down the field. Like, come on, man. Come on.
By the way,
listen
to this.
Baker was really good.
Listen to this.
Yeah?
AFC alone. Just the AFC. You're the GM. Huh? AFC.
Yeah.
For the next 5 years. Mahomes, just answer, you know, we got to get Mahomes or Baker?
Yeah.
Josh Allen or Baker?
Mahomes.
Justin Herbert or Baker?
Baker. Justin Herbert.
Okay. Deshaun Watson. Joe Burrow.
Deshaun.
The Jets number one pick, the Jags number two pick. Josh Allen. I have 9 minimum I choose over Baker next 5 years. And I'm not counting Ben or Tua. Ben's old and Tua, give me another 7-8 games. That's all I'm saying. I mean, again,
okay.
He's got the best offensive line. He's got a fortress of offensive talent. He lost Monday. I mean, what do you want from me?
I scored 42 points. What I want from you is common sense. I scored 42 points. We're blaming him?
Okay.
Hey, hold on. And you said Josh Allen. Are we going to be able to talk about the Bills? Are we going to be able
to
do
that? Okay, let's do it right now. Let's segue to this. Is that I have never bought into this nonsense with record. By the way, I have been saying last 6 weeks, Pittsburgh's not that good. I don't care if they're undefeated. By the way, I said last year with the Patriots, end of the year, I'm like, they're not good. They're the slowest team in the league. Right now, this morning, Buffalo is better offensively in the red zone. Buffalo is better defensively. Buffalo's getting fewer penalties. Buffalo is trending better.
Than who?
Than Kansas City.
Than who? Better than who?
Kansas City.
Oh, my God.
What? I'm wrong.
You didn't say that.
No, they're number
you're
one
wrong.
In my
heart. Yes.
They're the better team today.
Yeah, you're wrong. No, they're not. And, in fact, you know what? I can't even put you... I have too much love, respect, and adoration for you to actually try to do a Kansas City versus the Bills debate because it's too galaxy brain insane. So I'm going to do something much more straightforward. I'm going to test your mettle on how much you believe in the best team in football, the Buffalo Bills.
I'm ready for it.
So I'd like to make a wager. I'd like to make a wager with you, Colin. Let's set the Bills' playoff victory over under at one. Meaning, if they win zero playoff games, I win. And if they win two or more, you win. One is a push. Those would be this. That would be the stakes. I only win if they are if they don't win a single playoff game. Do you win if they get to at least the, I guess it would be the conference championship game or further. Do you agree with that terms, and then we can discuss stakes?
I agree with those terms.
Does that seem fair?
Yes.
Okay. I'm so glad you said yes. So obviously, there's no sense in betting actual dollars with you. You wouldn't know if you lost it.
So come on.
Let's bet this. Can we show this? The loser has to do this in homage to the Bills Mafia. I really hope we have this video ready, or else this entire bit is not going to work. Yeah, there we go. There we go. On TV, if the Bills make the conference championship game or further, I will do that. And if they go one and done in the playoffs, you will do that. Preferably Joy with the mustard and ketchup in hand, but you can negotiate that on your own. You can wear the goggles they wear in championship celebrations. That's the wager. Are you in?
Well, first of all, I am. I think this feels like a zany FM radio bit. I would have to do it the last 2 minutes of the show, obviously.
Obviously.
Am I willing to go here?
No, Nick. I think you missed the bar on the audience. That is not a Colin Cowherd thing. I would do that.
Joy.
I mean, I'm not. Joy. I don't want any part of this bet.
Okay, I'll make. Your premise is you don't think I have the courage or guts to say the Bills are going to be in the AFC Championship, and I'm saying they are going to be.
Yes.
They are going to be in the AFC Championship. And they're going to meet Kansas City.
Absolutely.
That's what's going to happen.
Right. And I'm not even going to ask you to pick them to beat the Chiefs because that's a bridge too far, even if right now you have them ahead. I'm not even asking you to do that. And the only way I win is if they win no playoff games. They have to go there. I almost want to do a who wins more playoff games, Bills or Browns.
Okay, time out.
But I don't want this to be polluted
all
with
right,
bacon.
All right, time out.
Yeah.
So if they win one playoff game, it's just a push.
Yeah, you don't have to
It's a push.
Okay. You're saying they're going to win none, and you have to do that.
Correct.
Okay, I'll do the bet.
Yeah, if they win a single playoff game, Yes! Yes!
So basically...
Whoa, I can't believe I got you to do it.
Okay.
I can't believe it.
So if it's one, neither one of us... No. If it's one, you have to do it.
Correct. If it's one, it's a push. Nothing happens. If it's zero, you do it. If it's one, nobody. If it's two, three, or four, it's all on me. Hits me right in the forehead.
Okay, I'll do the bet.
That's how it works.
So right now,
yes,
Buffalo.
Look at Joy. Joy's so mad.
I can't believe that I allow that to happen.
Basically, they have to win a playoff game.
I'm so
they play
happy.
The Colts today.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. That's all they got to do.
I tend to lean towards Nick on this. I am not fully sold on the Bills. I think they're a great team right now. They are a great team, but.
Okay, I'm
so happy. Can I just say something real quick, Colin? Do you remember when the Chiefs were struggling with the Raiders a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
And you called me mid-third quarter, and I gave you the bleep you button because I didn't want to hear your mess. I am going to FaceTime you the entirety of the second half of a Bills playoff game when you realize, oh, my God, I have trusted Josh Allen for my dignity and reputation. You're going to be watching Josh Allen throw behind-the-back laterals and try to throw left-handed passes, and you're going to say, every decision I've ever made in my life has led me to this point. Mustard being sprayed in my eyes.
All right.
I'm so happy right now.
All right, Nick Wright.
Yes.
I'll get be honest with you.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Look at it. That's going to be Colin. Yes.
I need Buffalo to beat the Colts. At home.
I would not have made that bet.
Do you know the only way it's better? Oh, I'm gone now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm still in the air.
You are, Nick.
The only way it's still better is if they play the Browns. Can you imagine if it's Baker who does it to them? Oh, my God.
I said I wouldn't. I participate in zany FM shenanigans like that, and I wouldn't have done that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I'm not really a bit guy. I used to work at a network where the morning show was like a bit show, and I'm not like into bits. But if the Buffalo Bills win one playoff game, I think they're arguably the second best team in the league. I watched them dominate the Rams. I watched them dominate Seattle. I watched them dominate Pittsburgh. I watched them dominate the Raiders. To me, that's arguably the first or second best team in football. They have to win one playoff game, and if they do, it's
not so much that they have to win one playoff game. It's that if they don't win the playoff game.
First of all, great coach, great quarterback. Their defense concerns me, but they'll be playing in Buffalo.
The stakes concern me. Not the bet itself. It's the stakes that concern me.
For the record, on the Baker Mayfield thing, even when you compliment Cleveland, they have such low self-sports esteem. They can't figure it out. Cleveland has either the first or second best offensive line in football. I think it's the best. Colts are second. That's a compliment, Cleveland. With the best offensive line in football, Baker Mayfield has the 31st highest completion percentage, 18th in yards, 12th in touchdowns, with great tight ends and great wide receiver talent. He was the second best quarterback in the game Monday. Ask yourself this. You're a general manager. Next 5 years in the NFL, I would take Patrick Mahomes over him, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and I love Derek Carr. He's more of a grown-up. I would also take the Jets' number one pick and the Jags' number two pick. And give me five more games, and I like the maturity and accuracy of Tua. That would be 10 of 16 AFC quarterbacks. Cleveland's got the best offensive line in the league. Do you remember what Dak Prescott looked like when he had the best offensive line in the league? He was 13-3 as a rookie. The last time a player, a quarterback in this league, had the best running game and the best offensive line was Dak Prescott's rookie year. He went 13-3 in the better NFC. Baker's 31st in completion percentage with a star receiver and two star tight ends and two star backs and the best offensive line. I'm just saying, I don't see this. He is Case Keenum. With a better arm, he's capable. Case Keenum won 11 games 1 year. It's not a bang on him. But the last time we saw the combination of best O-line in football and best running game was Dak as a rookie. It was 13-3. So right now they're 9-4. So, and you know, it's not a knock. I sometimes I'm like, it's not a criticism. Cleveland is built around Kevin Stefanski and this O-line. That's what they are. And by the way, I like the running backs, but Nick Chubb couldn't do anything. This offensive line, we've seen Zeke as the Cowboy offensive line has deteriorated. Zeke's not special. Like you do need some help on the offensive line. Cleveland's O-line is stacked. They're paying a swing tackle $5.5 million doesn't start. They're stacked.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Aaron Rodgers said something yesterday, and he tried to create an argument or that doesn't exist. So he's talking about GOATs, the greatest of all time. He's on the Pat McAfee show, and there's what Aaron Rodgers said.
There's way too many people labeled the GOAT, or guy's the GOAT of this guy's the GOAT of that. It used to be greatest of all time is one person, mm-hmm. right? But now, because there's way too many GOATs, I think you have to break it out into specific categories. Best winner of all time, person who's won the most championships. Best player, you know, which involves talent and ability and what you did with it. Most talented player. You know,
that'd probably be you.
Best thrower of the football. Like,
that's probably you.
There's all these different ways you can break that out.
No, nobody does that. Aaron, there's one GOAT. It's Brady. It's not you. Nobody breaks it up like that. You want us to. Nobody breaks it up like that, Aaron. Michael Jordan's the GOAT. Wayne Gretzky's the GO. He's like the chosen one. Or what do they call him? The great one. He's just the GO. And then there's like Michael. And there's Brady, And then there's Gretzky. And it was like Pele. No, nobody, Aaron, is doing that. I will, though, say, of the 12 greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen, I've always looked at them differently based on a lot of factors. I would say, of like the 12 best quarterbacks I've ever seen, here's the three groups. I would put them in the super talented. And to me, that is Favre, Marino, Rodgers, Elway. Some won a championship. Some didn't. Some won a couple. God gave them something that nobody else had. Arm strength, release. It's just different looking. Favre, Marino, Rodgers, Elway. It just looks different. I would say there's the super winners. They also had talent, but maybe it was their leadership, their coach. They just played in big games forever, and they seem to win a lot of them. Bradshaw, Aikman, Brady, Montana. And then I would classify the super unique. Breeze is the most accurate thrower of the football I have ever seen. Russell Wilson's the single greatest playmaker. Peyton Manning changed the game intellectually. He was a coach on the field. And then Steve Young was a precursor to Russell Wilson. They're just unique. They may not have all the championships. They don't have the raw talent of Marino. They're maybe not as, but there's something there. It's a little talent, a little leadership, a little winning, and I've never seen another quarterback I compared to Peyton, ever. It's just the way he played. Now, I will say this. Patrick Mahomes is the only quarterback I've ever seen that could be in all three of those. He's it. Not saying he's going to be. And I need to see. We're really, you know, he's been here. He's been at the party for about an hour and a half. Let's see a couple more years. He's the only quarterback that he's unique. Left-handed throws, sidearm, talent. It's absurd. And he has a chance with Andy Reid to join the super winner. And in my life, I couldn't put one guy in all three. Mahomes is the only one potentially that can get there. But Aaron, nobody's talking about best arm is GOAT. That doesn't exist.